What's up, everybody? On today's show, headlines from the first day of the SEC meetings down in Destin. We'll hear some quotes from Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Eli Drinkwitz, and more. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what is happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. It's great to have you guys along. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. And remember, we're free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, let's jump into it. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
Around the conference.
And we start with some of our headlines from the SEC meetings in Destin. All the coaches taking the podium on Tuesday. And some of the headlines starting with Eli Drinkwitz, who started by addressing a question regarding, I think it was gambling, and then tied it into NIL and said college players through name, image, and likeness are making more money than his brother-in-law, who's a pediatrician. And quote, he saves lives. It was a joke Eli Drinkwitz is trying to make. I get it. But the problem is, when you bring up name, image, and likeness, and you make $6 million a year, and you're trying to make a comparison, say, man, the players make a lot of money. You make a lot of money, Eli. And so, thus, a lot of people criticized him for it, saying, you know, some people were saying, do college football coaches even know how much money they make? Look, it was a joke. I get it, but it made the rounds on social media. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, tweeted the quote, and a lot of people crushed Eli Drinkwitz for the quote. I'll just say this. I think for the most part, college coaches should just steer away from saying anything that could even be perceived as negative about name, image, and likeness, even if it's a joke. I think you should get to the podium and say, man, isn't name, image, and likeness great? Isn't it great that our players can capitalize off of their name, image, and likeness and make money? I think anything short of that, you're making a mistake because you come across as an old dude who doesn't like young athletes making money. That's my perception of how it's perceived. Again, Eli Drinkwitz, right or wrong, getting criticized for that quote. Do with it what you will. But, again, I think he could use that as an opportunity to say, hey, Luther Burden, big five-star recruit that came here, and we got him a deal. He's on chips. Isn't that cool? Like, that should be maybe the message you send. Because anything negative perceived with it, look, other coaches are going to use that against you. Oh, Eli Drinkwitz doesn't think you should get NIL deals. He thinks it's a joke. He thinks his brother, the pediatrician, should have all the NIL deals. Nonetheless, it was a big talker making the rounds nationally on Tuesday. Other things Drinkwitz said he's in favor of a 9-game SEC schedule. He says he wants more permanent opponents to preserve rivalries, which he calls the basis of the SEC. And so, pretty interesting that Missouri, a spot like that, you know, you would think Eli Drinkwitz would shy away from it and say, hey, let's stick to 8 SEC games. He's on board with it. And he even said that Greg Sankey said that the SEC would be the only Power 5 conference playing 8 conference games, and he said that's not a good look for the league. So he finished the day with a pretty good quote, Drinkwitz. He said, look, I'm a history teacher by trade, and every time I come to one of these meetings, I'm blown away that the 13 colonies actually formed a union, but we can't agree on an 8 or 9 game conference schedule. Pretty funny stuff there from Drinkwitz. Again, tip of the cap to him. I appreciate him trying to find some humor in all this stuff. Other things that were said, one other thing from Eli Drinkwitz, he said that his five-star freshman, Luther Burden, he is going to be moved to slot receiver on the offense. We'd heard some rumblings about that, but Drinkwitz kind of just confirming it and saying, you know, Burden, who was, as a true freshman last year, had almost 400 yards receiving, 88 yards rushing, 8 offensive touchdowns, was used as a return man. He's going to see a lot more looks out of the slot this year on that offense for Missouri. So, again, looking for a big, huge breakout year from Luther Burden over at Mizzou. Meanwhile, Billy Napier, Florida head coach, he has talked in the past about tampering and, you know, look, nothing made a bigger headline than a year ago when Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher went at it publicly, kind of with tampering and NIL deals and all that. But Billy Napier mentioned that the SEC said where players cannot transfer in the league and be eligible immediately, that the issue does not linger. He said that with the other 13 SEC coaches, he just has to fend them off once and not twice like the rest of the country, but it's still a cutthroat business when it comes to the transfer portal. He said, look, we're all playing the same game, but we have different rules in some part. There's no doubt tampering is real and is an issue. Until something is done about it, it will continue. He was kind of referencing, you know, we had the first transfer portal and the second transfer portal. As you know, the second transfer portal that just passed, you can leave an SEC school, you just can't transfer and be immediately eligible at another SEC school coming out of the second transfer portal. So, again, it's just part of the business. And, you know, Billy Napier had a tough year at Florida in year one, and he has another tough year. He's going to have to fend off other coaches from coming to try to poach his players. That's just how this thing goes. Napier was also asked about the Florida-Georgia contract being extended in Jacksonville for the next couple of years. He said, look, it's beneficial for both sides. Good for the city of Jacksonville. I think there are economics that affect the decision, and ultimately that's what it came down to. So Florida-Georgia continuing in Jacksonville the next couple of years. Over at Auburn, Hugh Freeze, he was asked about tampering and how do you fix it. He said his idea is to end transfers except for grad transfers or when a coach is fired. He said, but I don't think that will ever happen again. Obviously, we're into the full age of transfer portal where guys can leave and enter that portal, you know, every few months if they want. But Freeze admitted he sometimes asks himself, is this the way we should be going with the transfer portal, that it's just the Wild Wild West and anybody can go anywhere? I don't think it's going away anytime soon. That's a way of the past that Hugh Freeze was thinking, and you've opened the door to Pandora's box. I don't think you can close it at this point. Freeze also said he's a big fan of, you know, preserving some rivalries in the future of the SEC, and obviously the Deep South's oldest rivalry, the Auburn-Georgia game. Freeze said it's huge for the fans. Said his AD and his school president should weigh in on whether they should go to 8 or 9 games. He did say, I don't think it'll be real spirited within the coaches' room. Just give us our marching orders. Tell us what's best for the conference. So Hugh Freeze kind of staying neutral there on 8 or 9 games in the conference. Nick Saban, of course, we know he's been a proponent of a 9-game SEC schedule. He went to the podium on Tuesday, said, my deal is always play more SEC games because we couldn't get other people to schedule. Now more people are in tune to scheduling. Having a balance is probably the important thing. He said he favors an NFL model in order to get some, you know, a level playing field here. He said if they have every game, if the NFL has every game at 8-8 going into the final week of the season, the NFL, they would love that. Things go into this, like TV contracts. I'm sure a lot of those things will factor into this. I've always been in favor of playing all games against Power 5 opponents. But he went on to say, look, we should unionize college football and make it like the NFL. So whether you agree with Nick Saban or not, those were his thoughts. And again, there's a lot of factors that go into this thing. One more coach who spoke yesterday, Kirby Smart. He had an interesting quote when he was asked about the schedule. He said, it's the most overrated conversation there ever has been about the scheduling. Do we go to 8? Do we not go to 9 games? Look, my take on this is Kirby's got the most loaded roster. He's got a weak schedule this year overall. When you're playing with a loaded deck, you don't care who you play. I mean, if you're Kirby Smart in Georgia, they tell you we're going to 9 games, Kirby doesn't care. He's like, I have the best roster. We're going to beat the hell out of whoever we play. So I get it. That's his take. I would love to have known Kirby's take on this maybe 5 years ago if he would feel differently. But look, when you're the back-to-back reigning national champs and you've got another loaded roster and a talented quarterback and a loaded running back room and a loaded defense again, yeah, my take on that, too, would be, yes, schedule talk's overrated. Why are we even talking about this? So we'll see ultimately what Georgia picks, but it sounds like they could go either way on this. And lastly, Brian Kelly was asked about the schedule, you know, going to 8 or 9 games. Brian Kelly and LSU have been pretty outspoken, saying they'll go to 9 games. And in terms of who you want to keep as a rival, Brian Kelly said Alabama. He was asked if he wanted to play Alabama every season. He replied, heck yeah. He went on to say, I love Alabama, love Nick, love that kind of matchup. I mean, I was in Tiger Stadium for the game last year. I could tell you that there's not a better atmosphere of college football being than when those two teams are competing against each other at that level. That's why I came to the SEC to play in those kind of games. So There you have it. That's some of the takeaways from day one over at the SEC meetings in Destin. And hopefully we'll get some more clarity throughout this week on what's going to happen with the future of SEC scheduling. Are we going to 9 games? Are we staying at 8? Are we just going to stay at 8 for one more year? We'll get more on that hopefully throughout the week. So make sure you're keeping and get tuned right here to Locked On SEC and making us your first listen every day. This episode is presented to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Look, you got to go make a fast break to FanDuel as the NBA playoffs are coming to an end. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Tons of great promotions there over at the FanDuel app. Every day, they're a safe and secure app. You can get paid instantly. And there's no better place to get in on all the NBA playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. If you're on your computer or mobile device, just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Get that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel.com/LockedOn. It is FanDuel. They are the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC, and we actually have some other SEC topics we do need to get into, so let's dive right into that. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Every dayers, tomorrow on the show, our buddy Chris Marler is going to join us. We'll talk some more on SEC meetings with him. CBS Sports, they announced their SEC on CBS football broadcast schedule and windows, as the network is going to have 15 games including the SEC Championship on Saturday, December 2nd. Now, keep in mind, this is the last year of the CBS SEC on CBS. We're going to lose it because, of course, we're going over to SEC's going to go over to just ESPN and ABC and SEC Network and all that. But SEC on CBS has been a staple for a really long time, and we're going to miss it. But the first game is on the docket. Saturday, September 16th, it will be South Carolina at Georgia. The annual rivalry game, well, we'll get into some of the other ones in just a second, but obviously Georgia, the reigning national champs, hosting South Carolina and Spencer Rattler and Shane Beamer and company. South Carolina finished the year strong. We know that the big win over Tennessee was monumental, and then they followed up with the win against Clemson, even bigger. So South Carolina's feeling themselves. I know they gave Notre Dame everything they could handle in the bowl game, just fell short there. But bringing Spencer Rattler back, bringing Juice Wells back at wide receiver, South Carolina feels like, man, if we can keep taking steps forward and improving together, we might have a chance. So really looking forward to that one. Saturday, September 16th, it'll be South Carolina, Georgia to kick off the SEC on CBS. Now, some other games that are already on the docket. Saturday, October 21st, will be a little doubleheader. They'll have Air Force at Navy and then the SEC CBS game of the week, 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern for a lot of these. A week later, October 28th, they've already got it in there. Georgia at Florida, that rivalry game is set for October 28th down at Jacksonville. So that one is set. The only other games that are set on the CBS schedule are Friday, November 24th, Black Friday. We know that it will be Missouri at Arkansas, that annual game. And then the SEC Championship, like we said, will be December 2nd. And then a week later, Army-Navy. And then, of course, later in December will be the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. But a lot of games are up for grabs. And, you know, we've got some windows here for some night games. And we think potentially A&M, Alabama could be one that gets put on the CBS primetime. Maybe LSU, Alabama. A lot of potential here, but CBS putting out their schedule. And Keith Farner over at Saturday Down South, he took a little stab at some of the games we could get. September 23rd, he said potentially Auburn at A&M could be the 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern CBS slot. On September 30th, he thinks South Carolina at Tennessee could be the CBS spot. October 7th, like we just mentioned, Alabama at A&M. I think that's almost a lock. That game has become a really interesting one, especially in recent years. His prediction for October 14th is a doubleheader. He thinks A&M at Tennessee and Auburn at LSU will be the CBS doubleheader that day. So we'll see what happens there. October 21st, he thinks that will be Tennessee at Alabama. Of course, the rematch there after Tennessee got Alabama finally a year ago. December 4th, the other doubleheader, he's predicting Arkansas at Florida and LSU at Alabama in the nightcap. That one sounds pretty intriguing. November 11th, he's picking Florida at LSU, so that one would be interesting. What's Florida and LSU's record come the second week of November? Is that the one that CBS really wants to grab? Of course, November 18th, he's got Georgia at Tennessee. Again, Georgia's won six straight in the series, but Neyland Stadium, it's playing tougher again. That one will be fun. And then he's predicting the last week of the season, November 25th, it's the Iron Bowl, Alabama at Auburn. So we'll see what happens there. Kind of a fun look-ahead spot to see what will be the official CBS game of the week each week. But we're going to enjoy it. This will be the last time we'll hear, because they're going to be carrying Big Ten games in the future. And let's be honest, not many people are going to be excited for Northwestern versus UCLA as a Big Ten matchup on the CBS afternoon time slot. But it is what it is. And there you have it. That's the latest with the CBS scheduling. Again, South Carolina, Georgia will open SEC play on CBS Saturday, September 16th. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. And again, make sure you're checking us out every day and checking us out tomorrow. Chris Marler will join us on the show tomorrow. One more segment here on Locked On SEC. We'll talk a little bit about what Greg Sankey had to say about the 8 games versus 9 game SEC schedule. All right, roll along here, Locked On SEC, and like we mentioned, the SEC meeting's going down over in Destin this week, and a lot of the coaches getting their say at the table on what they'd like to see when it comes to scheduling and all that. And Greg Sankey met with reporters earlier this week and talked about that decision regarding the SEC scheduling model and said, look, the vote could happen this week, and there's been a lot of momentum riding for the 9-game slate, but as Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated said, there are still numerous programs that support sticking with an 8-game SEC schedule. And he said one of those factors is that ESPN is not willing to increase revenue if the SEC says, hey, you know what, in 2024, we're going to play not 8 SEC games, but 9 SEC games. Do we get more money for that? And ESPN's going, well, not necessarily. We kind of already have a TV deal in place. We already agreed to an amount. Greg Sankey did say on Monday that money should not be what is going to drive the decision between 8-game and 9-game scheduling model. But come on, let's be real. Money is the motivating factor here. Sankey said money follows. It doesn't lead. When all you do is chase money, you make a lot of bad decisions. I agree. My problem with this is, Greg Sankey, why was this not agreed to sooner? You knew Oklahoma and Texas as soon as we knew it wasn't happening in 2025, but in 2024, the decision on future scheduling should have been made around that time. We've drug our feet, we've waited, and here we are a year out from this happening, and we still don't know how many conference games the SEC is going to play in 2024. Of course, we've discussed it at length. Texas and Oklahoma coming in next summer, a 9-game SEC schedule will allow all the SEC teams to have 3 protected rivalries you play every year, and then a rotation with everyone. You would go to every opponent's house once every 4 years. I think that's great. But the meeting's taking place down in Destin. We'll see if they come to some resolution later this week. Now, Paul Feinbaum was on with Greg McElroy and Cole Kublick on Jax FM earlier this week, and he was asked, you know, what does he think about the schedule? And Greg McElroy thinks it would be a watered-down product. He said the secondary rivalries would go out the window if we stick with an 8-game conference schedule and only play one rivalry game. Feinbaum said, I think you're right. I think it's more toward the middle, the bottom of the league than it is even at the top. Could an additional conference game cost somebody? It's possible. But I think with the 12 playoff teams starting in 2024, you run the bigger risk of having the conference schedule devalued. I know nobody in the SEC believes that to be true, but everybody else is playing more conference games when you look around the country. Feinbaum did say he believes an 8-game schedule would just be temporary. It'd be a 1-year thing. He said, I have a hard time believing this is something that would last a long time. I think it would be presented as a bridge to the future, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in and fully integrating themselves. And a year later, we may expand to the 9-game conference schedule. Why have these discussions? I mean, we know these discussions have been had, but why couldn't a resolution have been reached here along the way? Why are we still sitting here a year out from these two programs coming in and we're going, we may table these discussions for a year? Come on, man. Get to play a 9-game schedule and let's go. It seems preposterous, but look, this may happen. And you want to talk about schedule inequity. What happens if we say, we're going to stick with 8 games and, we'll figure out scheduling here. You know, you could end up with maybe Georgia, plays, a schedule where they avoid Texas and Oklahoma altogether. Maybe Alabama gets a schedule where they got to go to Texas and to Oklahoma. This is where the schedule inequity becomes an issue, because you're expanding to 16 teams, but you're only going to play 8 teams. You're missing the other half of the league. Again, hopefully some kind of resolution can be made here, but it's sounding like, or at least looking like right now, it's trending towards the SEC is going to stick with 8 conference games in 2024, and good luck. It's going to be a crapshoot to see who winds up on your schedule. You may get lucky and get South Carolina and Vandy and, Kentucky and Mizzou, or you may get Oklahoma, Texas, Bama, Georgia, LSU, and have a brutal schedule. So that is going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. Thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. And as you said, everydayers, keep checking us out every day. Chris Marler going to join us tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts on this whole SEC scheduling thing and what should happen. And we'll keep you up to date with all the latest news and headlines coming from the SEC meetings over in Destin. I'm Chris Gordy. This has been Locked On SEC. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.